Are you all making it, those who are putting kids into school and dealing with all the adjustments of schedules? Being that summertime is now over, we have a new journey in our life. Most of you know this, but we have three kids, 15, 13, and 12, and we have homeschooled them, except for our oldest did 1 year kindergarten, but we've been in the homeschool realm for all the school years, and this year we said, let's try school for one of them. Caleb, our eighth grader, we said, you're going to start school. He has some desires for sports, and so we said, let's do that. And so we're learning school systems. Whew. Take a deep breath. That's new. We're used to sleeping in until 8:30 or 9 and start school about 9:30 sometimes. And now we got to be on the road by 7:15. And then he gets home from his practices and all that stuff around 7, and he still has to eat and shower and do homework. And so we're in the same boat that many of you walk in every single day. And so we're learning some new things. And it's been interesting. He's going to Lexington Christian. It's been interesting because they've been having meetings. And I'm like, how many meetings can we have? Come to this meeting. It's a 101. We want you to learn about the school. Come to this meeting. It's about football. Come to this meeting. I'll learn how the school works. Come to this meeting. You get to go through all their classes, meet all their teachers. And here's all the rules. And let's just tell you the rules again. Let's tell you how you get, log into this and log into that. And it's information overload. But it's learning whole new systems and whole new procedures for us. And the interesting thing is you look around and, yeah, there's some new parents, and then there's the parents who've been around for a long time, and they're being told the same thing. And we've met some of those parents, some of the parents of our kids have been here for 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, and they're getting told the same information over and over again because every school year there's kind of a new training, so to speak, like, okay, let's make sure everybody's on the same page. Let's make sure the new people are getting involved. Let's make sure that everyone knows how you do this, how you do that. Let's make sure everyone understands our goals around here and what we're trying to accomplish. And as I've been going through that process, it's been good because I'm starting to realize what some of you all go through every single day. But it's also been an eye-opening experience to go, wow, there's a lot of similarities between the church and between school, especially school systems. And really the similarity is when I started listening to them talk about here's our goals and our objectives and here's what we're trying to do and here's what we're trying to accomplish and here's how you plug in and here's how you get connected. We as a church try to do the same thing sometimes. We try to communicate, here's what we're trying to do, here's what our objectives, here's what our goals are. And periodically there is a time for us to draw in and sometimes hone in on one or two or three of our goals or our objectives or one of our key elements of Centerpoint Christian Church. And for those who have been around a long time, we need to rehear it because sometimes we forget. And so just like those parents and students have been around the school system for 5 or 10 years. They need to rehear it so they remember, here's what we're trying to do. And then for the new folks who have been around, hey, we're trying to jump in and we want to find a way to plug in. And so today is one of these kind of days for us. Because just as school goes back in a session, the church in the summertime, our schedule is adjusted during the summer. Now we're heading into fall and we kind of get refocused and recentered on what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And so today is just kind of a standalone day for us to hone in on what are we trying to do around here, and why are we trying to do it? And I want to focus on one area today, and in order to do that, I want us to walk through Acts chapter 2. So you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 2. That's where we'll be today. Acts chapter 2 is a great chapter, and there's a lot of meat in Acts chapter 2. And I don't have time in one Sunday service to go through the entire chapter, but let me do a little bit of foundational work for us to kind of lay the groundwork of what was going on. You remember that Jesus was with his disciples and he had been teaching and preaching and healing and ministering and showing them how to do ministry. And he had been telling them and warning them and letting them know, hey, the day's coming that I'm going to leave. I'm going to die on a cross. I'll rise again. I'll go to heaven and sit at the right hand of my Father. And so that had taken place. Jesus had ministered. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb, rose again. And then the disciples are hanging out. And the Bible doesn't give us a lot of clear detail of exactly what they were doing. They were hanging out. But in chapter 2, it tells us they were all together in one room, in one place, when suddenly this great wind comes and the Spirit of God comes and lands on them, the Holy Spirit. And then these disciples who all spoke the same language, all of a sudden were speaking all different kinds of languages. Different tongues, and they started to teach and started to preach, basically, and started to speak these languages. And the people who were around at the time thought they were crazy, and they said, what have they been doing, drinking? They've been partying all night. What's going on? And one of them stands up and says, no, they haven't been partying. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. They're empowered by God. But because of the loud noise, there was a gathering of people who gathered around because they heard the rushing wind. They heard it. They gathered together and said, you know, what's happening? And so then Peter, who to me is one of my favorite disciples, he's the bold one. He stood up and said, let me tell you what's happening. Look what he says in verses around 14. Then Peter stood up at the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem. So he's talking to Jews and others who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And so Peter goes on and basically preaches a message about Jesus. And he ties into some history and some Old Testament language there and jumped down to verse 22. He said, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Could you imagine? Here's Peter before the crowd of the Jews and others, and they're responsible for Jesus' death. And so his first sermon that he preaches, he stands before this crowd, which would have been rather large, because later we see that 3,000 come and give their life to Christ. He stands before them and looks at them and says, it's your fault. He stands up and tells them, you're the one, because you listen to wicked man. You are the one who sent Jesus to the cross. You're guilty. That's the first sermon. I couldn't imagine doing that. An angry, upset crowd, confused crowd, mixed crowd. And he stands up and says, you're at fault. And he says, the good thing is, though, God raised him from the dead. And so he goes back and recounts what they had heard about, what they had been taught, and what some things they knew, and tells them this is what happened. And then he goes on and uses an illustration about David. And he says, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. He says, listen, you're familiar with David, the patriarch, and David's tomb is still to this day there. And David's body is still in that tomb, but Jesus, he rose from the grave. Look at verse 30. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised his Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. So he goes on and makes this comparison and says, you guys are familiar with David the patriarch. His body's still in the grave. Jesus is no longer in the grave. He's rose from the grave. Preaches this message, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He came for you. And then they respond. You see down later, verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, kind of smacks him in the eyes one more time. You crucified him. God made him Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And so when they hear the gospel, they hear the message of Jesus, they respond with, wow, what are we supposed to do? And what does Peter tell them? He tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible goes on in Acts chapter 2 and tells us about 3,000 people were added to the number that day. I would love to have seen that. Could you imagine 3,000 people just walking in the river? How'd they do that? Just baptizing one after another, baptizing five at the same time. I don't know. They line up, you know, 12 apostles and all of them in the water, and they all say, let's go, same time, 12 at a time until they got through. I don't know how they did it. Can you imagine being part of that kind of experience of worship service? That's what happened. And so now they have this young church, the disciples and some 3,000 that now say, well, we believe in Jesus and we've repented. In other words, we say we're sorry for our part in sending Jesus to the cross, and now we want to follow Jesus. And so this young church, 3,000, what do they do to get organized? What do they do to stay strong? What do they do to grow in Christ? How do they do that? Well, the Bible answers that. In Acts 42, or chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in a temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Did you see that? What did they do? They became the church, and then they started to meet together. They spent time together. They hung out together. And the Bible actually describes that they were devoted to fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayer, and the disciples' teaching, which came from the Word of God. And so they spent time together. And the Bible says they did it every day in the temple courts. And I want to talk to you today about the need for us to be together. We live in a society today that we are so separated and divided into so many different areas that we're running this crazy rat race in America that we're all guilty of. We need times to draw in to be together. We need times to not neglect the gathering. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, or some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I mean, when you look at the passage in Acts and you look at the passage in Hebrews, it's very clear that the church gathered together. They did not separate and say, let's just go do our own thing. They said, we've got to be together. We've got to be together. Why? Because that's where we grow. That's where we stay strong. That's where we get encouraged. And so there's two primary ways that we do that in the church here at Centerpoint, and many churches do similar things. One is what we do right here on Sundays, worship. Gathering together for this corporate gathering of worship is a highly important thing that we do. And I want to encourage you, now we're kind of off of summer traveling and all the sports and all the stuff we do, I want to encourage you to make your Sunday a priority. Make it a priority that you will carve this out in your family's life and you'll say, you know what, Sunday we're going to worship. Sometimes God does things in here that we don't even expect or we don't even know He does it. Sometimes you wake up on a Sunday morning, I don't want to go, I'm kind of tired, I'm kind of worn out, but you need to be here in those days. Because sometimes the hug in the hallway or the handshake or a prayer that is shared or just an encouraging word is what lifts you. And God does work in that that's beyond what you and I sometimes can even understand. I want to encourage you, church. Here we are, school's starting. Why not dig in and say, you know what, I'm making a priority. Me and my family, we're in worship. We're not going to miss. We might be sick, that's going to happen. Or we may be traveling and going and seeing some friends periodically during the school year. But most time during the school year, we're staying usually closer homebound. But I find a lot of times people say, well, I miss church. Why did I miss? Well, I just didn't feel like coming. I didn't want to wrestle with getting the kids around. Man, it was just tiring to do that. Or, well, we had a real busy Saturday, and so we needed to sleep on Sunday. I want to encourage you, church, don't do that. I want to encourage you, no matter how tired you are, how worn out you are, how much you're running the race, to say, you know what, I'm carving out Sunday, and I'll be there. I'm going to gather with my church family because God's going to do work in that. It's a high priority we carry here at Centerpoint is one is worship. Secondly, I want to encourage you to plug into a growth group. We've been talking about that. I want to encourage you to look on your chairs. There's some flyers there to explain our growth groups. Growth groups exist to connect people to God and to other Christians. When you get involved in a growth group, it's helping you connect with God because you're studying God's Word, and it helps you connect with other Christians because you're developing relationships. Growth groups do basically three primary things. They study. What do they study? You say, what do they do? Well, this year we made a transition at the beginning of the year, and we put all of our growth groups on the same kind of study. We do what we call sermon-based groups here. So if you've been around for a while, maybe you've heard about it, maybe you're brand new, you're saying, okay, what's that about? A sermon-based group, and they start next week. What happens? You come to worship. We're going to make adjustment from what we did earlier in the year. We are encouraging you to download a study guide off the web, off our website. We're going to have that in hand. So when you come here Sunday morning, it'll be handed to you. And so that study guide goes along with whatever I'm preaching. Next Sunday, we start a study in the book of Philippians. And so the study guide will go along with Philippians. What I preach on will be Philippians, and then a sermon-based study is you take that study guide and you go to your growth group, and then you will study the book of Philippians together. And it's one whole unified church working together, moving in one direction. What does that allow us to do? That allows us to dig in deeper. That allows sometimes when the preacher's preaching, I know some of you said, Brian, I got a question, or it's after church, can I ask you something? And I know most of you are not going to raise your hand. I'm not ready to open that door, you know, in the middle of a sermon and say, hey, Brian, can I ask a question? You take that to your growth group. Hey, the preacher said this, can we talk about it? And you guys dig into Scripture, and by the wrestling of Scripture together as a group, you start to grow. And it creates a unified oneness of our entire church. And so that begins next week. We do study-based sermons. We ask our growth groups then to serve. And in two capacities. One, you serve each other by loving each other. So in a growth group, you get together and you share. You share prayer requests. You share what's going on in life. You encourage each other in that journey, living out this Acts 2:42. We get together, we share life together. You also serve by loving our city together. A high challenge we have in all of our growth groups is that each semester, each growth group takes on some kind of service project for the city, in the city. For example, one of our growth groups that continues to meet periodically throughout the summer, this Saturday, they're organizing and they're working with a group over here at Georgetown, off of Georgetown Street, and they're doing a big party in the park. Working with some other families who've been working over there, but they're providing hot dogs and hamburgers. That's the Skidmore group. Jerry, where you at? You're back there. So their group, and he's been hollering at a couple other groups, hey, come help us. And they're doing blow-ups in a park, and they've been ministering over there at Douglas Park this summer by going over there, just meeting some folks over there. And so they're doing that this Saturday. It's not something we promoted church-wide, because they've said, let's do that through our groups. We're encouraging our groups to do ministry together. We've had groups do the coat drive. We've had groups do book drives, different kinds of things like that. And we want to encourage you as a group to serve together. So we serve by loving each other, and we serve by loving our city. And then, of course, groups socialize. There's weekly fellowship. Some are eating together. Some are snacking together. Some are full meals. But then we ask the groups, hey, once per quarter, go just do something fun. Go have a party somewhere. Go out to eat together. Go bowling together. Go to a movie together. Go do something just fun and invite some friends to come along. And so that's the nuts and the bolts about a growth group. They study together, they serve together, and they socialize together. Involved in that is prayer and breaking bread, living out Acts 2. The early church met daily. Daily in the temple courts. And through the years, that's daily has been spread out. And I would encourage you, one, is it be in worship, and two, get involved in a growth group. Now, all the information for the growth groups are on those flyers and on your chairs. The sign-ups are on the tables out in the lobby. The challenge for any preacher is I can stand up here and tell you growth groups are life-changing. I can tell you it's the best thing to do. You got to do it. You're going to love it. And you guys go, well, that's the preacher. He's just trying to tell us to do something. And so I have asked some people to join me up here today, and I want them to share with us. And so we're going to have a little panel discussion, make this part of today's message. So I'm going to ask those people to come on and join me up here right now, those who I've talked with. And I want you to hear from them . Will you take that one? For some up here, they said, Brian, you're getting me out of my comfort zone. I said, it's good to get out of comfort zone. We talked about that last week. Stephanie, let me give you that mic. And so they were willing. They said, yeah, we'll come and share. So here's five people who are involved in growth groups, have been, and some have been involved in different kind of groups before we started growth groups. And so we're going to take a few minutes and just kind of talk and share. And so I want to ask you guys to start, just introduce yourselves, tell us who you are, quick snippet about your family, how long you've been coming to CenterPoint, where you work.
My name's Dustin McGill. My wife's name is Suzanne. We have three kids, a four-year-old and a twin, 19-month-olds. I work at Chase Bank out in Hamburg. My wife works for St. Joseph Hospital. And we've been attending CenterPoint since, I believe it was July, August 2012. So a little over 2 years we've been coming here now.
And Dustin is one of our growth group leaders. Group meets on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights at 6, and we do welcome kids. We got plenty of them.
Okay.
I'm a... Philip Horn, and we've been going here for about a year and a half. My wife Denise and me and my two kids. We've got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I work for Schwann's.
I'm Leah Horn. I'm married to Stephen Horn. We have two children, Ryder and Reagan. We have a third one on the way, coming very soon. I'm a stay-at-home mom.
My name's Tim Curtis. I'm married to Ginger Curtis, and we have one child, and that child's my dad.
That was pretty good.
And I work for National Coatings.
I'm Stephanie Ratliff. I'm married to Jeremy Ratliff, and we have three kids that keep us really busy. Wyatt is our baby. He's 5, just started kindergarten. Haynes is 7. He's in second grade. And Abigail's 12, going on 18. And she's in 7th grade this year. I work over at UK. I teach in the College of Social Work. And Jeremy's an attorney at Kincaid and Steeles downtown. So, and we go to the Sunday night growth group. And that's over at the Bolton's house. So,
yeah, tell us, go back real quick. What group do you go to, Tim?
I go to the Skidmore group.
On Tuesday nights?
On Tuesday nights here.
Okay. And Leah, which one are you signed up
for? We go to Josh and Amber Hazards.
What night is that?
Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights.
Sunday nights with the McGills.
Sunday nights with the McGills. So, and Tim does have a child out of the home besides his dad. He left all three children.
Actually,
they're all out of the home. So, I wanted them to come up and share because sometimes what I hear from the church is, Brian, where do I put a growth group in my schedule? How can we possibly do that? Well, they were involved in a growth group, and they had was she 3 years old when he had twins? 2 years old. Sydney was 2 years old, and they had twins. And they said, growth group's important to us, small group. How many kids you have? 2, but you're a manager at Schwann's. I called you the other day. We talked. It was like almost 8 o'clock in the evening. I said, what are you doing, Phil? I'm still working. Some of you all do that, right? But their family has found that making growth groups important. Leah, stay-at-home mom, child on the way, but her husband's a CPA. And from about January till May, she's a single mom because her husband works so many hours. And they said, we're going to make growth group important. And they made it in their priority. Tim, your life's too easy. No. They've been hosting in their house for a long time.
Yeah.
And does a lot of sales. Busy. I mean, and he's an elder here at our church. And he said, you know what? It's important. Stephanie, you said you're a social worker and your husband's a lawyer. And you have 3 kids.
Right.
So enough said, right? They've all made it a priority. And so when you choose to say, I want to grow in Christ, that's what growth group is supposed to do, you have to make it a priority. So let me ask you all a few questions. What do you love about it? Anybody can take that. What do you love about being part of a growth group?
For us, it's really the part of getting to know people that we wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to get to know here just at church because of our life being so crazy. I mean, as soon as the service is over, we're gone. You know, it's time to start getting naps ready, lunch, and all that good stuff. And so being able to spend that quality time with the individuals within our group is very important for us.
Okay. Somebody else answer that question. What do you love?
Well, I think I've been coming to Center Point for 5 years, and I've been in growth groups for about 5 years. And I think as a young Christian, it helps you grow. It helps you be more bold out into the world. It's just been a great thing for me, and I'm blessed today because of the growth groups and learning scripture and tearing up Brian's message on Sunday, and it's really been a blessing.
Stephanie, can you answer that question? What do you love about growth groups?
Well, we like the fellowship part of it a lot. You know, when you first start coming to church, we started coming here about 3.5 years ago and got to know people kind of what I would describe as on a surface level. But when you go to growth group, you really get to know folks, and we've made lots of friends. And so it's the fellowship, but it's also the support we get from growth group. You know, we share a lot of the kinds of struggles that are going on within our family. Other people share that. We pray for one another. And we don't have a lot of family around here, so growth group is kind of like a family for us. So that's good. Plus, being in scripture, making time for that, in addition to what we do here at church and do at night in our devotionals and that kind of thing. It's just deeper, and we get to learn a lot more and feel like we're a lot more in the Word than if we didn't go to growth group. So.
And Stephanie says she loves the fellowship, and that's true because we laugh sometimes because her and her family are the ones, you know, they're helping clean the kitchen and hanging out to the very last of the thing and saying, this is every week, isn't it? Except I got a new rule this year. You got to be at my house by 8 o'clock. I got to get kids to bed and homework done. No, it's been great having them part of our group. Talk to me about you growing in Christ. How's growth group maybe helped you? You've seen your walk in Christ start to grow. Someone take that question.
For me, it's easy to get caught up in the the world of work and family, and you forget about the important things. And one thing that I like about the growth group is it forces you to study in the Word and get in the Word. And for me, sometimes I need that forcing to do that, and it's really helped me.
So it's helped you get in the Word more.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Leah?
Yeah, for me, that's what I like too. It challenges you to dig deeper into the Word, to take a passage and not just read it and pick out a few things, but some of the questions on the growth guide are easy and you can pick out the answer, and some are challenging, and it forces you to look at other scripture to find the answer, and that's really been what's pushed me to go further.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a stab at that question?
For me, it's consistency, too.
Get that microphone there.
To be able, like Phil is saying, to be able to force you to do something, well, and this forces you to do it on a daily basis, because if you're not prepared come our group on Sundays, then it's kind of hard to follow along, so the consistency helps with me as well.
Okay. All right. Were any of y'all hesitant when it came time to sign up for a group? I know some were, like, in a group before we started the growth group things, our other structure, but were you hesitant at all and like, I'm not sure about this? And if so, can you speak to that hesitancy and how you kind of overcame that? Because I'm sure there's people out here going, I'm hesitant about this growth group idea and jumping into one.
Yeah, for me, like you said, Stephen's a CPA, and tax season is a rough time for me. And so I was hesitant to keep going to the growth group during tax season. It's easier just to stay home with the kids. But pushing myself to stay in the growth group, to keep going, it never fails. My kids are crazy on Wednesday nights during tax season. But to keep going, get them dressed, get whatever appetizer or meal I need to get done, and just get out the door. And it's so worth it. And I'm always so glad that I go and that I push myself to go, no matter how busy and how challenging those evenings can be.
So you have those moments where, like, it's a lot easier to stay home.
It's a lot easier just to stay home.
And then
home.
When you get done, you're like, man, I'm glad I went.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Anybody else have any issue? Go ahead.
Yeah. My wife, I don't know if you don't know her, but she is probably the shyest person in the world. So we had a lot of conversations about, she just didn't want to do it, and I didn't know if I could do it because I was going to be working so much. But we decided that it would be good for us, and we took the plunge. And it was funny because, like, the first four or five Sundays, like, we had, like, the world was ending. It just seemed like before growth group would happen or after growth group would happen, like, there was a lot of tension and in our house. And we pushed through that, and it actually turned out to be one of the best things. Denise is really comfortable around the people in our group now, and we enjoy it.
And I noticed that when we opened up the sign up 2 weeks ago, you guys had your name on the list, like, first. It was like, boom, we're in. You know, we're signing up quick. What would you guys say to somebody who's maybe said, oh, I haven't done this growth group thing, I've been thinking about it, I'm not really sure? What word of encouragement would you give to say, man, take the plunge and go for it. Give it a try. This is, I'd like to hear from everybody on this question, so make you think for a moment.
Well, for me, and I've said this several times in some of our other groups, that I'm the kind of person, like, I'm not going to be the first to jump in to, you know, offer my services, but whenever somebody asks, then I'm doing it. So if someone asks you, comes up to you and asks you to join their group, don't hesitate. You know, take that as an opportunity that God is working through someone to ask you to join them. Don't hesitate.
I think it will help you grow as a Christian. I think it'll make you more bold in the world to shine as a Christian. And you, other than that, you gain great friends that you'll have for eternity.
I would add a couple of things. As you're thinking about growth groups, think somewhat about your schedule, and, like, for us, Sunday nights are always going to be pretty much a good time for us, and we can actually make it there. So we're trying to build that in as we get started and thinking about, you know, when are we going to have the best chance of making it and being able to do, get ready and do our guide and those kinds of things. The other thing is, you know, I would just say, come as you are. There's certainly weeks where Jeremy and I don't answer all the questions or don't hardly answer any of the questions, but we still push ourselves and go in there, and that's acceptable. That's okay. It's hard to get it all in every week. And so those are two of the main things. And just everybody's comes in, and they're at a lot of different levels. We've had folks that, you know, have been Christians all their lives almost, and then people who are fairly new in their walk. And that just, everybody has something to bring and has a lot of good things to add, because we're all at different places and have different perspectives and challenges. And then for us, if we don't go to group or if we miss worship and that kind of thing, our week is a lot more difficult to get through. It's not that weeks when we go to growth group are easier, because we always have lots of challenges and trials. But when we go come here and worship, and when we go to our growth group, we just handle things better. Know to get back to scripture easier during the week, and, you know, turn to God to solve problems instead of trying to do it on our own. So growth group helps remind us of that and just keep us in that way. So
one of our goals here, we say connect, center, change. So that growth group is helping you guys keep Christ at the center.
Absolutely.
And you notice that when right. you miss it, wow, we're kind of getting a little lost on our focus.
Yeah, like we were thinking, oh, you know, at the end of May, we've been in a Sunday night group for, you know, two and a half years. Maybe we won't do it in the fall. And we can't wait for it to start back early. We've had a lot of tough things go on during the summer, and we're ready to get back in and build that back into our routine. And so,
good. Leah or Philip, you want to add?
Yeah, I would just repeat what everyone else has said. There's so many benefits to the growth groups, between furthering your relationship with Christ, the community that you build with your group. Some of our strongest friendships have come from out of our group. And then my children as well, just the example that they see us doing, you know, they see us with our Bibles open and see us praying, and that's important to me, for my children to see that.
That's a great point you bring up. The kids usually are not sitting around the discussions, but they are interacting with the adults, and they're running around the house, and they're having the snacks together, and they're having fun, so they're developing good relationships with Christian adults. That means a lot to these children. You don't understand how much that influences them, but it does. Philip?
Just do it.
Just do it. Short and to the point. Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Would you give them a hand for doing this for us? Let me, I know some of our growth group leaders are here and some are not. If you're a growth group leader, would you stand up in here if you're here? We have nine groups. We got Dustin's here. Jeremy, Dustin, you're on Sunday night, right? Okay, 6 p.m. Ruth and Kyle, Thursday night, what time? Where are you all meeting at? At the Lusk House. You're meeting at your house. Maddie Oaks, Wednesday night, 6:30. They do that at their home. Bodiger's. Okay, Jeremy and Aaron Bodiger are meeting here. We have a few groups meeting here, just trying to figure out, you know, making enough room for kids, etc. So, thank you for those who are here. Jerry's in the back. Jerry, you keep staying up back there. I'm missing you. But Jerry Skidmore, Tuesday night group, and they're meeting here now as well. And so you have the list there before you on the paperwork. There's sign-up sheets out in the lobby. I just want to encourage you to sign up. If you haven't done it, what we ask you to do is make a commitment for a semester. Semester lasts basically 9 weeks. Try it out for 9 weeks. I think if you try it out, you'll probably say, you know what, we need to keep going. We need to make this a priority in our life. And so some of our group leaders will be hanging out there in the lobby or on the table. Usually the biggest question is, what about kids? Can we bring kids? Talk to the individual growth group leaders. You have the information there. You can email them. You can phone call them and say, what do you guys do with kids? Everybody does something a little bit different. And so trying to put all that in a print is a little bit confusing. So you talk to them and say, we have kids. Can we come to your group? Can we not? Or do we have to leave them at home? How do you work all that out? And so talk to the individual leaders as you try to figure that out. Let me move on and talk about one of the part of this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 2. It says that all the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions of good. They gave everyone his need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. We break bread together every week. It's called communion. To focus on Jesus. To make sure that we don't ever forget about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think when the scripture here talks about breaking bread together, yes, it was eating whatever else they ate at that time. Most of our groups, I know they eat something together. But Jesus told us that when you gather, you break bread together, do this in remembrance of me. And so we do that here at Center Point Christian Church, and we're going to move into a time of worship and communion in order to be able to celebrate and be able to do that. Listen to what the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, start with verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread of the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup.'" And so we come to a time of communion. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of thankfulness. It's a time of self-examination. The Scripture tells us to examine ourselves. We ask the Lord, "Lord, where am I doing some things in my life that doesn't honor you?" Spend that time in confessing and then receiving the cup to remind us of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And so I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come and sing, and I invite you to participate in communion. Each of our stations are located in the back of the room today. If you're here today and you want to talk about your walk in Christ, you want to know how to get on the walk with Christ in that journey, you just need help along the way. We're here. A few of our elders will be at the cross. We'd love to pray with you or communicate with you and help you on your journey. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I want to ask, Lord, first of all, that you would stir in our hearts and our minds about this idea of being involved in a group throughout the week, Lord. Father, would you help us to overcome any fears or excuses or hesitancies that we have? Lord, help us to overcome those. God, your church met together, and you told us to not neglect that. And Father, I pray we don't do that. Father, I pray that we don't neglect the gathering of Sunday morning worship, that we make it a priority. Lord, that we make this a priority, that we're here, and that we bring our family here, and that we make it a priority to gather together, because, Lord, your Spirit works in this gathering. This is what you tell us to do. God, today we also say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Think about Peter, and he preached that message to the Jews and others gathered around, Lord. Very boldly, he stood up and said, "You crucified him. You put him to death, but God raised him from the dead." And God, we say thank you for conquering the grave for us. And Lord, we celebrate that each and every week in communion. God, help us to analyze ourselves. Help us to spend some time evaluating our walk with you before we partake in communion. Help us to examine, as your Scripture says, and then spend some time confessing, and then receive your grace and your mercy in this time of communion. Father, we love you, and I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.